Good evening, and this is Roy Milam, president of Cornerstone Marriage and Family Ministries. Welcome to Establishing a Vision for Your Marriage and Family. When we talk about developing a vision, we're talking about taking time to look into the future and to consider what we want in our marriage and family, what we want it to be like 1, 2, 3, 5 years into the future. What is it that we want to be as a couple? We're talking about looking forward and getting a picture of what our relationship looks like. It's like one of Charles Schulz's Peanuts cartoons I once saw. Charlie Brown is sitting in a deck chair near the front of a large boat when Lucy walks up. She says, "Some people go through life with their deck chair facing forward, gazing out where they're going," Lucy says philosophically. "Others," she says, "go through life with their deck chairs facing backwards, looking at where they've been." Then, looking directly into Charlie Brown's sunglasses, she asks him, "Charlie Brown, which way is your deck chair facing?" Charlie Brown, shrugging his shoulders, answers, "I really don't know. I've never been able to get my deck chair unfolded." Well, that is how life is, isn't it? We can get so caught up in the flurry of day-to-day activities that we fail to take time out to get our deck chair unfolded and take a look at where we're going. So I commend you for taking this valuable time that'll be time well spent, I can assure you, to look ahead, to look forward, to get that deck chair unfolded and be intentional about your future as a couple. You know, that is so true, what that Peanuts cartoon was getting across. If our deck chairs aren't unfolded and facing forward, we're liable to just be left standing, drifting, wondering where our lives went. When asked if there was anything worse than being blind, Helen Keller replied, "The most pathetic person in the world is someone who has sight but no vision." And King Solomon, the writer of Proverbs, said in Proverbs 29:18, Where there is no vision, the people perish. A wise word to us indeed. In fact, and you'll see that at the top of your first page there on your handout, Establishing a Vision for Your Marriage, this principle of Proverbs 29:18 is foundational for any successful enterprise, including marriage. In fact, applied to marriage, it could be paraphrased, "Where there is no vision, a marriage stops growing and deteriorates." So the contrast is clear. Perish or flourish, wander aimlessly, or stretch forth purposefully. What's needed, though, is a vision. Needed, I believe, today more than ever before, we as individuals and families need a sense of direction and destiny. And you know, we're going to use some tools today that Sue and I have been using over the last 12 years to help us get a vision for our future and to set our goals for the coming year. We do it every year. But you know, there was a day and a time when I didn't do that. In my first marriage back years ago, I never thought of the idea of having a vision, setting goals in my marriage, yeah, it was a very important part of my career. In fact, most every job I ever held, I set goals. We were required to in some of the positions that I held. We were required to set those goals and to get it on the schedule and to be clear about the things we were setting out to accomplish. But you know, it never dawned on me to apply that same type of principle in my marriage. Well, it's no wonder that marriage didn't go anywhere. And so Sue and I have really come to the place where we've, after been doing this for the last 12 or 13 years, we've seen that there's great benefits and blessings that come from having a vision and setting goals as a couple. It does something tremendous for a marriage. Item one there at the top of your page, Amos 3:3 poses the question, can two walk together unless they are agreed? Not really together, can they? They can walk together, but not really together. Not in the same direction. Not with the same ease and enjoyment. If they're not walking in agreement, they're not able to really walk together. They're doing what many couples do, one going 90 miles an hour in one direction and the spouse going 90 miles an hour in the other direction, pulling against each other and away from each other. But that's the point Amos 3:3 tells us, is that having a vision and goals, being agreed on where we're going and what direction we're going in as a couple, can be a basis. Their item one can be a basis for marriage and family unity, marriage and family oneness. It can bring us together closer, and it can help us to have a much more enjoyable, happier, fulfilling life together. In item two there tells us another blessing about visioning and goal setting, and that is goal setting provides a sense of joint accomplishment and security. As you set goals and see them accomplished, the two of you are actually drawn closer together. Ephesians 5:18 says, it starts in verse 15. It says, so be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. What I believe that scripture really points out to us is that the importance of priorities, and that's what goal setting does. It provides us with a reminder, a framework for decision making. When we have goals, then when those many decisions come along at us that we're trying to decide what to do, where to go, what activities to take on, what to become involved in, having goals offers us that framework that we need for decision making. And it provides us, too, with a reminder of important priorities. You know, having goals helps us get clear about those priorities. Clearly defined goals helps us make our relationship with God and our family the priority they deserve. And instead of just letting those things happen haphazardly, we become very intentional about those goals. And I'm not just talking about having goals. I guess really the emphasis on here is having a written vision and written goals. We all have goals every day. A goal is something we intend to do in the future. If as far as ahead as we can look is this afternoon, we still have some goals for this afternoon. But what we're talking about here is written goals, a written vision, stretching us a little further, looking further into the future. And I'm not suggesting a 10-year vision or even necessarily a 5-year vision. Sometimes, don't get me wrong, I'm not with so much on my plate, sometimes I'm hardly able to see past today. And I believe the Lord does want us to take life one day at a time. But I also believe that there's plenty of evidence throughout the Bible that the Lord would have us to think ahead, to plan. He just wants us to make sure that we consider His will in all of our planning. And so that's what we're working at. Number 4 says, goal setting provides a sense of joint accomplishment and security. As you set goals and see them accomplished, the two of you are drawn closer together. I'm sorry, I just repeated that. I jumped back one. That number 5, having goals helps us maintain accountability to those priorities. Number 5, having goals helps us maintain accountability to those priorities. See, that's the value of having them written. We're both in agreement, and we can help hold each other accountable to our own commitments that we make. Clearly defined goals written helps us make our relationships with God and our family a priority. Well, so as we look first of all, then there's really 2 main parts of this exercise that we're spending these next 25 minutes or so working on today. And that is that the part of visioning and the part of goal setting, and we're going to treat those two a little bit separate. And when we're talking about visioning, we're talking specifically about visioning what we see, what we can see our relationship being in the future. And so the next page, you'll see there a project called Our Relationship Vision, and I'm going to ask you to get that sheet in front of you. The next page is your actual worksheet, and then the following page that says Our Relationship Vision is an example. It's mine and Sue's example. Dates back to the 1990s, we started out with a lot fewer items on our list than this, but we've added to it over the years. But this is what we're working towards as a couple. So how do we come up with this relationship vision? Well, we've tried to break this down into 7 real simple steps for you. So what you need to begin to do is each of you run a copy of this, and on separate sheets of paper there in item number 1 on that project, Our Relationship Vision, on separate sheets of paper working separately, what I want you to do is write a series of short phrases or sentences that describe your personal vision of a loving, deeply satisfying marriage relationship. And as you do that, include qualities that you already have that you want to keep, and qualities that you wish you had. Maybe some qualities you've thought about at a marriage seminar you attended, or at one of our marriage renewal weekends you attended, or as you think about God's design for marriage, what are the things that you consider would be a deeply satisfying relationship? Envision these qualities. This is how I want you to see it, that second paragraph. Envision these qualities coming about in your marriage. And what I mean by that is write each sentence in the present tense as if you're looking at it, as if it's already happening. This is an empowerment kind of an exercise. For example, we have fun together. In other words, you're stating that as a belief. You're stating that as a commitment. You're stating that as something that the both of you have agreed upon that you want to bring into this relationship. Not one of these years we're going to have fun together. No, you're affirming it in the present. So bring those things that you want, make a present tense statement out of that. We have fun together. We have a mutually satisfying sex life, as an example. We are loving parents. We are affectionate with each other. Make all your items positive statements. And you can look at this one of example why I included it there just as an example to include everything from what are the things you want to do together from week to week. What are the important aspects of your relationship? Intimacy, trust, respect, leisure activities, making decisions together, balancing our budget, honoring our parents, worshiping together. All of these things, whatever the things are that you consider to be an important part of God's design for marriage, would be good for you to include in this list. So you've done that. When you do that, take 15 or 20 minutes just to jot those down and then share your sentences together. And what I want you to do is note the items that you have in common and underline them. You know, it doesn't really matter if you use different words. You know, if the idea was the same, make a note of that. But then again, if your mate has written some ideas that you agree with but didn't think of yourself, then you can add those to your list. And for just a moment, ignore the items that are not shared. Okay? We want to focus on where it's our vision. So we're going to come back to those, but Now your next step three would be to turn to your own expanded list and rank each sentence, including the ones that are not in common with each other's, with a number from 1 to 3 according to its importance to you. In other words, every one of them will have a 1, 2, or a 3. 1 indicating very important, 3 indicating not so important. Circle the 2 items that are most important to you. Just as you look at that whole list, things that you want in your relationship, what do you see as 2 items that are most important? 5th, step 5, put a check mark beside those items that you think would be most difficult for the 2 of you to achieve. And now what I want you to do for step number 6, a very important part of that Amos 3:3 verse we were talking about, now work together to find some agreement, to develop a joint relationship vision similar to this example here. Start with items that you both agree are most important. Put a check mark by those items that you both agree would be difficult to achieve. At the bottom of the list, write items that are relatively, they're not as important. And if you have items that are a source of disagreement between you, which most couples will. See if you can come up with a compromise statement that satisfies both of you. If not, that's okay. Leave that item off of your list. You can always revisit it and talk about it over time and add it back in later as you do reach agreement. Seventh, post the list where you can see it daily. And then what I'm going to ask you to do is very important. Once a week for the next 6 months, read it aloud together. After that, I'm going to ask you to continue to at least on your anniversary day to read that vision statement out loud and encourage each other to keep growing in these areas. And you'll see some very exciting changes begin to take place as the two of you really, really commit yourself as you sign on to your relationship vision there and as you commit to doing the things necessary to make those a reality in your life. In fact, I've had couples come back and use that list as a point of counseling where we said, you know, we've really been working on trying to make, we're having some issues with respect, or we're having some issues with praying together or managing our finances together, and to get to work on those and set some goals and come up with some creative ideas about how we as a couple can make some headway there. Now, that is the foundation for the next structure that we're going to put on top of that, which is our goal setting exercise. You'll see in the handout that I gave you, the next sheet there talks about clarifying core life values. What matters most to you? What values govern the way you live your life? You know, goals that are connected to our spiritual life and values ignite the power of passion with them. And so we're going to go into this piece right here, which is to be done only after you've done the first one. And this one is this little piece here is one that Sue and I do every single year. We do a new one for the coming year. So the first step is to clarify our core values. What values govern the way you live your life? The scripture says in Matthew 6:33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be given to you as well. So, as a couple, what I want you to do is take some time to study this list of values. Then put a check mark by the seven categories of life that are most important to you and discuss them with your mate. So, well, 5 to 7. 5 starting with your top 5, and then we're going to combine them to be 7 as a couple. So, what are your values? What are the most important things? What are we going, not what have been, but what are we going to decide today, really in my heart of hearts, when my life is all said and done? In fact, Covey, in his book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, has you do an exercise here. It's a great exercise. I did it in a workshop one time. And he has you think about your life as if you've come to the end of your life and you've died, and now you're at your funeral and all your friends and loved ones are there, and you've asked six of them to talk about your life and what it stood for. And Covey says, what would these six or seven people say that you stood for as a person? What were the things that were of value to you that you really considered important, you invested yourself in? So take some time. See how our goals need to be connected to our values. Unless we get clear about our values, we're not going to do a very good job on our goals. In fact, if we're not clear about our values, we're liable to lean our ladder against the wrong wall and find out once we've climbed that ladder, we've ended up in the wrong place. So we need to get clear about those values. And so you want to make your own list and then talk about yours together and then agree with you and your mate, talk about what are our top seven life values as a couple. That exercise probably will take you another 15 to 20 minutes. Now, having concluded that exercise, we're ready to move on to the next page there, which begins with spiritual goals. You'll notice we've identified six key areas of our lives that we need to have goals in. Spiritual goals, relationship goals, family goals, household goals, financial goals, and personal goals. And so we want to be sure that these goals are first of all tied in with our values because when they are, they're fueled by the fire within us and based on where our heart really is. They have to do with quality of life results. And so when we set a goal, we're saying, I can envision something different from what is, and I choose to focus my efforts to create it. Remember that goal setting is a process. The world changes, situations change, our families change, we change. The primary purpose of setting goals is to set direction and to pray about it and to continue examining and testing that direction against God's will for our lives. That's what that verse over there in the book of James tells us in James 2. It says, don't just go about your life from day to day making your plans. But he says what you should be doing is asking the question every day as you think about your plans, if this is God's will, we will do this. And so yes, we set goals, but as we set goals, we do not determine goals on our own. We seek to pray about these matters. And so as you start this process, I want to just stop off right here and emphasize the absolute importance of you praying individually and you as a couple praying and submitting your wills to God's will. Submitting your will to God's will. Well, you know, many people make the mistake of generalizing their goals. I want to just talk just briefly about goals, so when you do this step, this process, it'll work better for you if you take a few of these things into consideration. But, for example, I'll take weight loss since we're still in the first quarter of the new year and there's so many people talking about losing weight these days. For example, if the goal is weight loss, a lot of people might say, well, I want to be thinner or I want to lose some weight. But, you know, a goal needs to be specific. It needs to be something quantifiable and within a specific time period. In other words, write down what it is that you want to accomplish. And if you can, to attach a target date to it. I want to lose 20 pounds by August the 1st, 2009. You know, goals also need to be both challenging and realistic. And we need to be understanding that these aren't things that we're going to do on our own. They're things we're only going to be doing, for one thing, if the Lord's willing. And secondly, if that's what God wants done in our lives, and also by having His power, His help for us to accomplish these. The scripture says, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. And as we, day by day, through prayer and trusting in God and leaning on Him and accessing His power in our life, by being filled with His Spirit, we can be empowered to accomplish the things that He would have us to accomplish. So, our goals need to be godly goals, and they need to be challenging and realistic. And while having something to work towards instills motivation, having a goal that is unrealistic, I can tell you, will only create frustration. And as in the weight loss example, a goal that is too extreme can lead to health risks. I said 20 pounds. Well, if you're 6 foot and you only weigh 100 pounds, losing 20 pounds could be a bad thing. Make sure your goal is something that is attainable and beneficial, not only in the end result, but in the process as well. Now, after you've set your goal, the next thing to do is to spell out the steps it'll take to attain it. And then you ought to have some checkpoints of progress to keep yourself focused. In other words, if your goal is to lose 20 pounds within 6 months, you might have a list of steps that include a specific diet plan and a detailed workout routine with progress goals of 5 pounds each month. So you're making a plan to do this. Once you have your goals mapped out, then you can seek ways to stay motivated. You know, some people work well with a buddy system. I think that's one of the great things about marriage. If we're talking about these goals up front, who better to help us, to support us in reaching our goals than our mate? That's the awesome thing of communicating these back and forth to each other. You in our mate, we talked about before, that one of our main goals as a couple is to become each other's best friends. Who better to help us in accomplishing our goals than a best friend? So, those are just a couple of important guidelines as you set these goals. And one of the things I want to encourage you to do as you think through these next few sheets that I've given you on these 6 goal areas, is as you think about goals, I want you to think about what is it that you desire to accomplish? What is it that you want to have, to be, or to do? That's a good way to each one of those to ask yourself that question. What is it that I want in relationship to this, what do I want to have, to be, or to do? What is the end I have in mind? You know, a God-centered what focuses on growth and contribution. So we need to be praying about this and asking God for wisdom and direction as we set our goals. It isn't just about setting and achieving goals that creates quality of life, is it? No. Hitler set and achieved goals, so did Gandhi. The difference is what they chose to focus on. What we seek, we generally find. When we set goals that are in harmony with God and His principles that create quality of life, we seek and find the best. So, what is it that you desire to have, to be, to do? What is that God-centered what that you will do about that particular one of those six areas? Secondly, why? A good question to ask is, why do I want to have that? Why do I want to do that? Why do I want to be that? Without this deep why connection, we go through life feeling duty-bound to achieve our goals, and there's no connection to our deepest heart convictions and values. We're possibly, if we're not careful, we're working against ourselves, as the scripture refers to a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And if we're not careful, we can work against our values in setting certain goals. They need to be congruent with our values. If we don't ask that question why and connect our goals to that why, they don't have the sustaining power to carry us all the way to the finish line of achieving our goal as well. I believe that's the key to motivation. It's the why. It's what gives us energy and what keeps us focused. It gives us the strength to say no, because we connect with a deeper yes that's burning inside of us. And if a goal isn't connected to a deep why, it may be good, but it usually isn't best. And if it's not really prayed over, it may be good, but it may not be God, the God thing to do. We need to question our goal. Thirdly, we need to ask, how am I going to do it? What are the resources I have to help me achieve my goal? How much will it cost? What strategies can I use? Who could help me? What information do I need? What steps do I need to take? Here, I'm primarily giving you the tools you need to set these goals in these six important areas of your life, to write down these goals. But it's important also not only as we write these goals down, but that we consider how are we going to do it, so that after you've written your goals, you might have two or three things, a to-do list about those goals that you need, resources you need to get, strategies to use, who can help you, what information to help you accomplish that goal. And then after we've checked out our goal, then we need to check on our attitude by asking a few other questions, I think. Three questions I want to say before we wrap up here. One, do I really want it? Second, am I willing to pay the price? And thirdly, am I settling for mediocrity when I could be achieving excellence? So, those are some pointers I wanted to just share with you. As you think about these last three sheets, your spiritual goals, your relationship goals, your family goals, household goals, financial goals, and personal goals. And then what I want you to do is run you an extra copy, each an extra copy of this sheet, because once you you need a worksheet to work on, but then you need a final sheet that we're going to say, okay, we're also going to have these goals that we will pursue as a couple. So that you might have your own personal goals, and you might have some goals that you're going to pursue as a couple. But that you're going to have an opportunity to talk about them all together. So before you do this part, be sure and just spend some time asking God to give you wisdom and guidance. And then write down two spiritual goals. And a lot of people think, well, this has got to be profound. Well, write it in pencil. It doesn't have to be profound. It can be something very simple. And that's why I've included some samples. For instance, memorize one scripture verse a week. Spend 15 minutes each day in quiet time. Listen to two teaching tapes on the way to work each week. Or attend a spiritual conference or a retreat. Some goals spiritually that you would set for yourself and for yourselves as a couple. Relationship goals. These are from what we talked about. You, those of you who have attended the Marriage Renewal Weekend recently, recall we spent considerable amount of time talking about these three important areas: emotional intimacy, spiritual intimacy, and physical intimacy. That's God's design for intimacy. How close are we? How we understand and support each other's spiritual journey, and how we physically communicate our love to each other. Good to have some goals in those and talk about those three areas. Two relationship goals we want to pursue. Sample marriage goals: set aside weekly time for updating, sharing, planning, scheduled dates together, pray together daily. Schedule quarterly getaway times without the kids, so on and so forth. And then go work through each of these, and I've included, we won't go through every one of them. They're straightforward, but I wanted to at least go through that first one as a sample of how to work through those. Individually, write down your goals, and then come together and write down some goals for you as a couple to participate in. And then just like you do, just like you did with the vision, your relationship vision, I'm going to ask you to keep these goals. Each of you have a copy of your personal goals and your marriage goals. Ask you to be praying about these goals. This is a good prayer list. Some of these, I mean, these are your relationship goals, your family goals, household goals, financial. Pray about all of these things on an ongoing basis, not just as you set them, but continually as you work toward achieving them. So you want to keep these documents in a place, at least where you'll have a chance to look at them once a month, once every couple of weeks. Look at those goals. There will be some of the goals you'll want to look at once or twice a week. Not that every single one of them. And don't let it overwhelm you, because it's been said that any of us at any given time walks around, we operate with some over 100 goals in our mind, 100 things that if we really stopped to ponder it, we would be able to flash out over the next 3 months probably an average 100 things that we are wanting to do. Could have to do with our work, or we're planning to do, have to do with our work, our family, our relatives, our friends, our leisure, our finances, all of these areas. So we all have those. What we're doing is we're writing them down. We're narrowing down the most important ones. And there's going to be goals that you're going to have that don't get written on this list. That doesn't mean you're not going to accomplish them. I've also given you an e-copy of this so that you can go back, and if you choose to, you can put below 2, you can put 3, 4, or 5. To be honest with you, Sue and I have some sheets where we have 7 goals related to one particular topic. So customize it to fit your particular situation. Well, that concludes our time for this evening. I hope you find this information in this goal-setting visioning tool a practical tool that helps you as a couple take your marriage to a higher level. And may the two of you find God's blessing as you set goals together and as you accomplish those goals. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your guidance and direction. We thank you for your truth. God, I pray your blessings on each and every couple here that gets involved in this project, that you would direct them and guide them, that you would grant them success, that you would guide their path and grant them favor and success in the accomplishment of their goals. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, thank you for being here, and we'll be looking forward to next week. Good night.